We continue with the reading of God's Word by Brother Tom Fawcett.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 18. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord.
You guys ready for 45 minutes, right? Come on. I'll give you a brief word. And I thought it would be appropriate on a day when I gladly time and energy for our children to proclaim the gospel, to talk about the relevance of children for Christmas, okay? Part one, expendable children without the real Christmas. This is in the Bible. If you ever come to our church, you kind of know I'm not really one for talking about gushy, fuzzy, wuzzy, touchy-feely Christmas. You know why? Because that's not how it's taught in the Bible. In the Bible, there are hard things. This is the very second chapter of the New Testament, and it's talking about a horrible thing. I think it's very, very relevant today. So, expendable children without the real Christmas. And part two, why the Son of God became a baby. That's what we believe. I want you to understand this. Nobody else believes that. There isn't like a bunch of other religions that say there's only one infinite almighty God and he became a child and he became human forever. There's only, if you look at all the religions of all the world and all of history, there's only one that teaches that. And that's what this holiday is about. It's absolutely central to the gospel, right? Part one. Let's go to the verse. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. It's kind of interesting. He's furious. He's already lying, like totally lying through his teeth. And he's mad because they're undermining his wickedness. But he decides, let's double down. And he killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region just to make sure. Let's get all these kids around Bethlehem too. 2 years old and under, he murdered them. Go to verse 17. This is prophecy, that this is what be part of Christmas. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping, weeping. Rachel is the wife of let me see if I have this right, of Jacob. She's the mother of Israel. And so all of the mothers of Israel was a day where they wept. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is part of Christmas too. You know, we had a spirit here in this room, and we let the children take center stage and proclaim the most important child of all. And that's, we do that every year, and we don't do that because they're cute. They're really cute, okay? And so that's a super duper bonus. We do that because out of a baby himself came salvation. Out of one who was very, very weak and frail came salvation. There is the most important child of all time. Salvation had to be done this way. Now, I want to say a little something about this. I kept thinking about this weeping and loud lamentation, weeping, she refused to be comforted. I hope you don't think this is only something that happened a long time ago. Wherever there's a place and there is no Christmas, I'm not talking about Christmas according to just culture. I'm talking about the most important meaning of Christmas itself, which is that there must be a baby, and through that baby would come salvation for everyone. And that changes the meaning of babies. It changes the meaning of the importance of children. It shows us what is actually what justice itself is. We live in a time when there's a lot of screaming and yelling about justice. But do you notice that we live in a time when the kids are hurting? The kids are doing badly. And I think that if you have justice, 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 but there isn't Christmas, the Christmas of the gospel, there will be less and less justice for the children. When there isn't the gospel in the world, the murdering, the oppression of children becomes quite normal. And so I know this is kind of heavy. We live in a very anti-Christian and post-Christian time. One of the things I want to say to you, if you want Christianity only according to the nice, 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 happy, 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 okay? I don't know what world you're living in. Christians all around the world today, they live in countries where their kids could be killed simply for being Christian. And all around the world, where there is no Jesus proclaimed, especially when Jesus is despised, it's quite normal for children to pay the price. And that is becoming the case here. Let me just give you an example of a place where I think this is an example of this, which is especially pointed to me. Have you ever heard of this place? Next slide. This ministry is called Jasper Kids. And if you're part of our church, that's an important ministry. And you can find it there, jasperkids.org. And I'll tell you a story that I heard about 14 years ago now, 13 years ago. Let me put the picture. So you see that beautiful lady there? Her name is Jonya Huang. And that's her husband. He's Korean-American, but Junya is Thai. And they are missionaries. And many years ago, we had Junya over at our house. My wife and I got to know her quite well. And she was talking about the origins of their ministry, Jasper Kids. And the story goes something like this. She told us that before she ever met her husband, when she was a young lady, she was serving in a ministry where there were all these children, babies, that had AIDS. And because if you're in Thailand, I don't know if you know this, but Bangkok is one of the great prostitution capitals of the world. And it is a quite normal thing in Thailand that parents will have children, and then they'll go, okay, well, we can't feed this one. I'm not sure if we can feed 2 out of 4. So if we sell this one, maybe we could feed the other ones. And they get sold into the prostitution arena. And then they grow up. And then, of course, then they get terrible diseases. And then they have children. And people like Junya hold these child. And they weep like Rachel. Not in the first century in Palestine, but in the 20th century in Thailand. And she wept and said, Jesus, what is to be done? What is to be done? And so then she met this Korean-American guy and said, this is what I want to do with my life. The kids who end up in those places tend to come from the poorest places in the country. And in Thailand, that's the mountain villages. So Jasper Kids was intended to reach those kids and raise them in the gospel, to give them education, to raise them to be leaders of a nation so that they could rid this horrible thing from their people. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Right. Let's go to part two. Why did the Son of God become a baby? I'm going to give you this verse. This is from the very chapter before it. You know this verse if you grew up in the church. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, and the kids sang it many, many times, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it's a quote from very ancient prophecy from the book of Isaiah. You know, there's a teaching that the theologians, they read the Bible and said, they call this the covenant of redemption. That there's everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And before there was creation, before there was a speck of dust, before there were angels and heaven and earth, God said, I'm going to make a world. And at the peak of this world, I'm going to make beings called people. And I'm going to make them in the image of God, actually, in the image of the Son. In the image of the Son of God. And the purpose of that is so that the Father turns to the Son and said, you know this thing that we have from forever and forever? Well, I love you, and you love me back, and we're filled with holiness and righteousness and joy and love and peace forever and ever, never to be broken. Well, I'm going to make a bunch of other kids. And they're intended to be like you. So all the way that I love you, I will love them. That's the plan. But then they will decide that they would rather live without Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they'll be cursed. And there will be oppression and wickedness and death. And so, son, you will have to go down. The plan is for you to become human. You'll be born in the most dirt poor way. You will be the bottom of the bottom among them. And it is to show that I intend to love them, not just as God, but to be their father. Every little baby, every little child is to be adored by the Father. When my son was born, I remember that day like it was yesterday. He was born, he came out. I looked immediately at his crotch because I did not know if he was a boy or a girl. Oh, it's a boy. Then I looked at his head. He had curly hair. Whoa. Where did that come from? And then he was the apple of my eye. I am but a sinful man. My son is a grown man today. But he is still the apple of my eye. Anything were ever to happen to him, I'll be weeping without comfort for the rest of my life. That verse is in the Bible to say this is God's heart for you and for me and the smallest and the weakest. That is Christmas. That is why the Son of God had to become a baby. One of these days, young people, you're going to have a kid. And the whole meaning of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christmas will change for you. If you can even begin to think, okay, this is how I love my child. This is how Father God loves me and every child. Now you will know why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. Let's pray. We live in a time where we're becoming more like Thailand. There are kids that are wanted, Lord Jesus. There are many kids that are not. There are kids that are wanted, and then parents say, I don't want her anymore, and then the kids pay. There are adults that run our school systems. And they say, we want this ideology because that will make me feel really good about my identity and my sex life. And then the kids pay. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son and that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the world can become just and holy and beautiful. We thank you that the kids that are part of Revive, they are loved, they are cherished as they ought to be. I pray, Lord, that in this church we would know that we are loved in Christ, unbreakable. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts, that we would look at all the children in our city, and we would know that it is your longing, Father, to have them, to hold them, for them to be the apple of your eye forever and ever. And since Jesus takes away our sins and washes us of our wickedness and our righteousness and our selfishness, this is not only possible, but that you will do this through us, through the gospel, through Christ, through Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.